You are listening to All Things Azeroth. Your World of Warcraft podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Medros and Grace.
And welcome back to another exciting and very thrilling episode of All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medros, and with me, as usual, is my co-host, Grace.
Oh, what the heck? Busted.
It's been one of those days.
That's all right. I'm Grace. They know me.
And how you doing there, Grace?
I'm doing pretty well, actually, although I did not get the job that I interviewed for today. I'm a little sad about that, but things have been good. I've had a really good week in WoW and out of WoW, and I'm thoroughly ensconced in Noble Garden-ness, so it's been a good week. How has your week been?
Well, I don't know, been good. Technologically speaking, my week has been frustrating, but overall, it's not too bad, I guess. How has your week in-game been?
My week in game has been really great, actually. I don't even know where to start. I did Nax 25. I don't think I got any loot, but I, just had fun downing some bosses that I hadn't seen before, like Grobulus and that big dog, whatever his name is, and Patchwork, which I hadn't downed before. So that was a lot of fun. And I'm collecting heroic tokens in preparation for purchasing the Mammoth Mount that you can purchase for 200 heroic tokens, and collecting Stonekeeper shards for the Mammoth that you can purchase with those for 300, and grinding gold and Wormrest Accord reputation to purchase the Reigns of the Red Protodrake. Additionally, I'm a little late to the game. Actually, I'm a lot late to the game, but I got bitten by achievement fever. Basically, what happened was I was doing the Argent tournament, and I hit Champion of Stormwind, and I got a title. So I'm now Talus of Stormwind, and all of a sudden I went, hey, you know, there's other titles I could get if I did more achievements. So all of a sudden I'm thoroughly ensconced in Noble Garden. I'm over halfway to getting the Noble title. And so I figured, well, you know, since there's no time limit on this, what a long strange trip it's been, achievement, which is the one where you complete all of the seasonal achievements and you get the meta achievement, plus the Violet Protodrake, that I might as well start that grind. So that's what I've been doing a lot of today, has been farming eggs and going around and planting flowers and planting eggs and having my pet bunny have sex with other pet bunnies and make little baby bunnies, and it's all very crazy. So I'm having a good time with Noble Garden. Have you done any of it yet?
I've done a bit of Noble Garden, but I have found that everywhere that I've gone has been highly, highly camped. The first place I hit was Darnassus, figuring, okay, well, it's kind of the more out-of-the-way capital. It won't be as packed, won't be as crowded. Well, I was wrong. Every place that I could find an egg was... I would spot an egg from 10 paces. By the time I'd run over, it would already be picked up by somebody else. There was bunnies camping all over the place, which kind of really, really frustrated me. Of course, because, you know, the whole plan, you know, Blizzard said from the beginning that the whole idea was that they were going to make it so that players could have more access to them. They would, you know, there'd always be eggs up, is what they said. Well, I have found that that's not always true. Unless there's some hidden eggs that I don't know about. But there was definitely a lot of, problems with the whole egg hunting thing. It was more of an egg hunt, more of an egg camp. So that was kind of the frustrating thing I had. But I had to get some in the end.
I find that it helps, if you find a spot where an egg is spawning, to zoom your camera all the way in so that you're in first-person mode. And just, as annoying as it is, just put some music on in the background and camp that one spot. Like, there's one tree that I found where there are three different spawn points underneath the tree and then one on the other side of it, and I would just constantly run circles around it. And I was able to get my 100 eggs within a couple hours of, you know, I'd log in for an hour, get 50 eggs, log out, you know, go have a life, come back, and I got my 100 eggs. So That helps. Also, using your basket, your dashed basket, also helps. And looking in really obscure places like inside cauldrons, stuff like that, underneath vendor carts outside of Keranos, things like that. It helps. It is annoying, especially at peak times. You know, forget it. So what I've been doing during peak times are things like, once I got my bunny, you know, I had to take him around to 5 different locations and have the bunny mate with other people's bunnies. So I was doing that. And then I got the spring robes, and so I had to go around to various deserts and plant flowers. Things like that, you can do at any time of day or night. And then I've been trying to do my farming early in the morning or late at night when there are fewer people on, just because otherwise it's not fun. And I'm not going to do it if it's not fun, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely interesting, but last night, I think it was like 4 or 5 a.m., I was out in Keranos, and I found a camp spot, and I just sat there, and I just waited. I was there for like 45 minutes to get my 20 eggs, or my 20 shells and my 10 chocolates, and I was incredibly frustrated. I was very... very much looking forward to Noble Garden. It sounded like Blizzard had solved a lot of the problems that it had before. There was no more random number generator problems and stuff like that, but now it's just a camp problem. You have a very small area, and you have a lot of people who are trying for it. Every area I went to had 30, 40, 50 people all trying for eggs, and there wasn't that many camp spots. So, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, I suppose it's par for the course, though, because they're only doing them in the noob towns. So for the Alliance, it's Keranos, Dolinar, let's see where else, Goldshire, Azure Watch, I think, are the 4. Am I missing one? I think that's it, right?
Dolinar, Keranos, Azure Watch, and Goldshire, yeah, those are the 4.
Yeah, so there's 4. So I don't know if there's anything else that they could have done, except maybe have more eggs. But honestly, during peak times when I was able to get my camping spot, I was having a couple eggs spawn a minute. So I think it depends on getting a really good camping spot. But, you know, again, if someone's already in your camping spot, you're kind of screwed. So
that's true. And in the end, it's a holiday. I'm not overly... I mean, I'd like to be Medros the Noble. I would sound really... highfalutin and such, but it's not that big of a deal to me. I honestly, at this point, it's already a full day into it, day and a half now. I doubt I'm going to get the title. But it was fun to do.
So you're not going for the Violet Porter Drake then?
Oh god, no. I don't...
Okay.
There's too many... You have to get this, which drops in a 1 in a million chance... To succeed type stuff, it's just not worth it to me.
Fair enough.
It's like working at a job for 4 years at low rate of pay, all just to get an old but beat up car. That's right. How it feels like to me. It's just not the kind of thing that I'm really that interested in. Other than the Violet Proto Day, has there been anything else you've been doing this week?
Respeccing again, because when the mini patch came out last week, we got another free talent respec. So I specced my Death Knight full on Holy just to experiment with Unholy. So now he has a permanent ghoul pet that does not vanish after 3 minutes, and he has the ability to summon a gargoyle, which is kind of neat. I haven't played on him that much, though. I've been working more on the druid, who is now mostly balance. And while I'm thinking of in-game things before we start talking about the news, I do want to send a huge shout-out to Cadmore from Thunderhorn US, who messaged me this afternoon, actually, and sent me 3 Frostweave bags in the mail. And on our server, yeah.
Wow.
On our server, those are going for almost 90 gold each. So that was very, very generous of them. Just out of the blue, said, hey, if you still need Frostweave bags, I can send you 3. And I said, that would be amazing. So thank you very, very much. And shout out to Cadmore.
That's an awesome thing for them to do. I've actually turned to actually buying my cloth because I was tired of constantly having to, you know, go farm up and kill and kill and kill just to get one bag worth. So I've actually gone out, like, it's only like 7 to 15 gold a stack of cloth. So I've been going, and every few days I check the auction house, and anything that's like my auctioneer shows me the price of something and how it compares to everything else. And the blue stuff is like the really good deals kind of stuff. So what I do is I buy all the stuff that's blue, all the frost weave cloth that's blue, and then I take all the dust and all the thread that I need, and I toss them off to my one of my guildmates who is a tailor, and actually is getting points off of these, and you know, she makes up for me and sends them over to me. So that was good. It's a good way. And I think I've got 10 I think total right now across all of my tunes, and I've got another four bags worth of cloth in the on my mule right now. So I'm doing all right.
It's amazing how quickly, you know, your bags fill up, even when you promise yourself that you're going to be less of a pack rat and you're going to and you're going to start being ruthless about throwing things away. I'm not very good at being a pack rat, and so this was really, really great, because otherwise I just have to start, you know, throwing away letters that I've saved and old tier pieces and just things that I'd rather hang on to for sentimental value. So thank you very much. Again, that was just a really nice thing to have happen.
So my week has been a fairly, you know, busy week this week. Primarily, it's just been kind of, how can I put it, trying to make up time that I feel I've lost, kind of thing. Not really lost, really, but just kind of stuff that I feel like I haven't really done enough of, I guess. I don't know. In-game, Medros is fairly well up there. He's done a fair bit so far, but he hasn't done everything that he could. So when the achievement system first came out, I got a large portion of the Eastern Kingdom explored, thinking, okay, well, I'll slowly work towards that exploration achievement. Well, my leveling partner in game actually got me to get out and actually do the exploring that I need to get done. So this week I finally finished it, and I am finally Medros the Explorer.
Outstanding!
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, the Kalimdor was the worst one, because I had a lot of zones that I had barely explored. But the last place I explored was the place that very few people ever go. It's Purgation Island Isle in Hillsbrad. On Alliance side, very few people ever go there because there's really nothing there to do. All there really is just a bunch of undead spirits that you don't get any credit for. There's no quests for the Alliance side. I think for Horde side there used to be a quest or something, or maybe a class quest or something, but really, there's nothing that really has to do with that island anymore. So that's the one place Medros had not been, or the last place he had not been. And I got that last night. So I went from being Medros of Stormwind, which I was for all of 8 hours or so, to Medros the Explorer.
That's awesome.
And I was actually talking on Twitter last night. I was saying, you know, I really wish they let you string together titles, because now they go for a lot more. I could be Medros, or Ambassador Medros, the Explorer of Stormwind.
That would be kind of neat, but, you know, I don't know why they don't let you do that. It doesn't seem to me like the coding would be that much more difficult, but they must have a reason somewhere.
Well, you would think, but,
You would think. Sometimes I think they're just, being ornery, you know?
I'm trying to think of what else. I got Exalted Champion of Stormwind. And that was really awesome. I really enjoyed getting that. I'm now working on Exalted Champion of Darnassus. And then after that, it's either going to be the Gnomes or the Draenei. Those are the two that I don't have Exalted with yet. I think it'll probably be the Draenei, because if I can get from, like, 1% towards 1% towards Exalted with the Draenei to Exalted, that'll probably push me a large portion of the way from Revered to, I think, like 60% through Revered with Gnomergon. So, and the egg of the week this week was Aged Yolk. Unfortunately, the most useless thing you can get from the Mysterious Egg. But the Mysterious Egg has been repurchased, and I hope for better next time.
So the yolk doesn't really do anything then?
It's food you can eat. It's like a stack of 5 yolks. It's really, really useless.
Ugh. Sounds gross. So shall we talk a little bit about our sponsor now?
Of course. Let us talk a little bit about our sponsor, GoToMyPC.
Okay, this week's show is sponsored by GoToMyPC.com. Now, you've probably heard about this remote access technology, but you probably thought that you had to be a tech expert to figure it out. Well, we want to tell you, with GoToMyPC, remote access has never been so easy. From your living room, a hotel room in New York, or an internet cafe in Paris, I could only hope, right? You simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and your office desktop instantly appears. GoToMyPC is built for non-technical people, so anyone can use it, even me. Free customer service is available 24/7. We use GoToMyPC and we love it, so you should check it out. You can try GoToMyPC.com free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMyPC.com/techpodcasts. That's GoToMyPC.com/techpodcasts for a free 30-day trial, and let them know we sent you.
The news from around the world of Warcraft.
So, Grace, let's get on with the news here a little bit. First off, have you installed the Curse client for Mac?
I have. I actually did it directly before we recorded the show last week. Because until recently, you know, anyone who has had a Mac knows that there was no Curse client for Mac. And that was kind of frustrating because every time there would be a patch or the add-ons would break for other reasons, we'd have to go manually install everything, which for someone like me who uses an increasingly high number of mods was a little bit annoying. So the add-on for Mac works basically the same way that the add-on for Windows does. You can keep it running all the time in the background or not. You can fire it up. Pretty much it will, and it will check and see if you need any of your add-ons updated. And if you do, you press a button, and it will download it for you and install it for you. The frustrating thing that's being reported about this add-on for Mac is that it is very unstable, and it does cause WoW to crash sometimes. Now, in Curse's defense, it is a beta release. They're not saying this is perfect. So what I do to kind of minimize crashing is I just don't have it running most of the time. I load it up about once a day when I'm not playing WoW, and I check for new add-ons, and then I close it. And I haven't had any crashing problems since I adopted that strategy. So I know we talked about this briefly last week, and you said that it was a bit of a security risk, but I don't know. How do you feel about running it when, not running it all the time, but only running it when you need it? Do you think that helps?
I will stand by my previous statement that I feel that the entire market of downloaders, auto downloaders, is a danger to your account. That is my opinion, and I will stick by it. I understand there's a lot of people who prefer that, and I understand why, and I find that's an entirely valid point. There is, at this point, no simple and easy way to do that. And Blizzard needs to look into that. But a third-party client isn't the solution to that problem. I feel that... I mean, look at it from this way. If Blizzard's own forum ad-generating stuff, the ads they put in the forums, if even that got hacked, what are the chances that Curse or WoW Interface or WoW Matrix can be better than Blizzard when it comes to keeping their system secure?
Well, do we know for a fact that Blizzard stuff got hacked, or was it that they just didn't check their advertising well enough before it went up, and so they had gold selling ads on the site?
That is a good point. We don't know, but ads got through, and therefore it is just as likely that a Trojan horse could have gotten through, or some other code that could have gotten through that could have sent people automatically via pop-up to another site. And that site could have had the Trojan software loaded onto it that would automatically load onto a system that wasn't fully patched. And again, that's a problem with many Windows accounts. There's really not a lot you can do at this point. But the point is still there that there is a lot of significant issues. And it is a security risk. And I will not give up on that.
Well, to be fair, though, I think I think I understand your point completely. I just think it depends on what really happened with Blizzard. I think there's a big likelihood that they were just kind of lazy and that they didn't fully explain to their vendor company or do whatever they needed to do to ensure that the company that they hired to do their advertising didn't include gold selling ads. Now, as annoying as that is, and as upsetting as it is, and as negligent as it is, and as unethical as it is, I'd almost rather that be the case than to have them get hacked. Because if they did get hacked, then you're absolutely right. And then that's kind of scary, because if Blizzard can get hacked, any one of us could have that happen. Any one of those websites.
There was actually a point in time about, I think it was a year or two ago, where there were several community manager accounts on the Blizzard forums that got hacked.
Oh, and that's documented.
It was documented and admitted. I don't know where it started, but I guess maybe somebody guessed the passwords, or their cookie system wasn't working very well or something. One of their community manager's accounts got hacked. That led to other community manager's accounts getting hacked. And there were several Trojan and malicious links posted on the forums under the name of the community managers.
Wow. Well, that's definitely upsetting. I did not realize that. So I suppose as a Mac user, I also feel a little bit less of a target for viruses, just because normally creators of virus code go for PCs because there's just so many more PC users out there, you know? Not that anyone's 100% safe.
That very true. But Mac, you know, you're right. Mac is not the priority target to those who are going to write malicious software like a Trojan horse. But, you know, like I said last week, a World of Warcraft account right now is more valuable than a credit card. And if there is a known vulnerability that they could exploit, you'd bet there'll be Trojan makers that will exploit that, and they will try and go after Mac-based WoW clients.
Absolutely, it is a risk. I guess it's a calculation of risk.
Very true. Very true. It is what we try to do to try and keep ourselves secure. I really don't know what more we can do at this point as players and gamers. But this week, the Argent Tournament got its first few champions. As many of the players out there might know, shortly after our last recording, the first champions of the Argent Tournament were knighted, I guess. I think that might be what it's like. But they were announced or whatever. Basically what it was is it takes 3 days to go from Aspirant to Valiant, assuming you do all of your dailies. And then once you have received that, it takes you another, I think it's 5 days if you do all of the dailies, to go from Valiant to Champion. Now, it is a lot of work. Don't doubt that for even a second. It is a lot of work to go from Aspirant to Champion. But you'll get a lot of gold if you're 80. You'll get a lot of experience points if you're not. I know one person who got almost all the way through 79 just on that quest experience from the Argent Tournament.
Nice. I forget that you can do these daily quests before you hit 80. As long as you can navigate Ice Crown, you can get out there. It's going to be a little bit annoying because you won't have... Actually, you could have your epic flying, as long as you saved up the money for your cold weather flying, so it wouldn't be quite so bad.
Yeah, she was just into 79 when the Argent Tournament hit, and she was halfway through Valiant when she dinged.
There's nothing that's like an 80 elite, though, so it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Basically, yeah, all you need to be is 77 in order to get out there. And that really doesn't take all that much time. And, I mean, I would imagine that you could probably... Now, admittedly, there's some stuff you probably can't do because you probably... Well, with your cold weather flying, you could actually probably do all your quests. So as long as you're 77, you could probably do every quest that you have to. You might have some trouble with some of the Ice Crown... Ice Crown mobs that you'd have to go for, but the only things that are elite level stuff would be the
group quest from Threat from Above,
and that's actually a champion. That's not actually at Valiant or Aspirant. So you could actually get to a champion without having to actually be 80. But yeah, threat from above is really hard to do. I did that last night. I died 3 times before I got it done.
Were you soloing it?
I had one person with me.
Okay, because I haven't had a problem.
I was in my prot gear, and yeah, I mean maybe the person was not healing as good as she should. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, threat from above. If you haven't done this quest before, it's a quest that you get at the champion level from someone in the pavilion at the Argent tournament, and you have to go and you have to kill this elite 80 elite frost worm that's flying around, and you have to kill 3 of the mobs that are riding around on its back. They're like bombardiers. And it's not really bad if you have, especially if you have 3 people, which I believe is the recommended number of people. But yep. I mean, I've done it with 2 as a warlock and I guess it was probably a ret pally because he was putting out some serious DPS. But it depends on the group. If you're in greens, it might not be the best idea to do it. But and it also gives you, I believe, 26 gold at level 80. So that's a nice chunk of change. And it is a daily, so you can do it once a day.
And just so you know, Grace, our chat room can now hear us again.
Oh, hello, chat room. Long time no see.
Yeah, I had to reboot my Firefox, and that fixed it. It was probably just a bug in Stick'Em.
Ooh, Firefox.
But we are going to take a short break and play a promo. A little cross-promotion deal with our friends over at the Epic Shards podcast. And so we're going to play their promo now, and we will be back in just a minute.
All right, see you on the other side.
We're rolling.
We interrupt this podcast for news that you can't live without.
Here's what's making news.
Here's Thunder Bluff News with your anchors, Cremori and Cowbobs.
Thank you for listening. This is Cremori.
This is Joe Bubs.
With your news up to the minute, right this second. Have you ever sat around wondering, have you?
Yeah, I do that. Oh,
okay,
all the time.
I was just wondering. Because if you have sat around going, we have the answer to your You know what that answer is?
No, I don't.
That news came to us today. You should be listening to the Epic Shards podcast.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about them.
Do you know where they're at?
No. What? Do you?
I do. It's on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, or you can go directly to their website at epicshards.net. Just use the search word Epic Shards with a Z, no matter where you download, and that's where they'll be.
Yeah, I would think so.
Isn't that cool? You know what they have on their podcast?
No.
Okay, it says on our special edition report that they have fun, humor, and lots of ranting.
Well, that sounds perfect for us.
You can never rant too much with Blizzard or Warcraft, for that matter. So, for all your news that's fit to listen to, give them a try at epicshards.net. That's right.
Epicshards.net.
They'll love to see you. Till next time, this is Cremori.
And this is Cowbobs.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
And welcome back. I'm glad you enjoyed that promo. The Epic Shards folks, Zabgoro over there, contacted me and was interested in a cross-promotion, and I'm always happy to cross-promote with our fellow WoW podcasters. If, you know, any of the WoW radio hosts want to do that, or any, you know, WoW Insider wants to cross-promote, I'd be happy to entertain their offers. The Instance would have I'd be happy to play a promo for the Instance, too, if you want. No comment?
I'm agreeing with you. I didn't think anything else needed to be said.
Well, I didn't hear you agree, so that I wasn't sure if you were trying to bite your tongue or not.
No, not at all. No, definitely not. If you have a promo, send it our way.
Definitely. So the next little show topic here that I want to talk about is the Argent Tournament is for the casual player. Now, I feel that's probably not entirely accurate, in my opinion. What do you think of that idea?
Well, it depends how serious about the Argent Tournament you're going to get. If you are really going to go for being a champion of all of your faction cities, and you're really going to go for grinding for the pets and the mounts and all the various things that you can get, you either have to be pretty hardcore or you have to be willing for it to take a long time. So that's another thing. I am, of course, I'm gay for the mounts. So right now I need to get 40 of the, champion seals. for the lamb mount, or the lamb pet, rather. And then I'm getting 200 for the hippogriff. And then there's also a horse that I'm grinding for, but that's later. I mean, I'm not quite so interested in it just because it's not a flying mount. But that's only one city. That's Stormwind. Then there's Darnassus, Nomorgon, Exeter. So if you really want all of that, it's going to take you a long time. But if you're okay with that, I suppose you could be casual. You could also be casual in the aspect of just that's all you do. And honestly, for the past couple days, that's been the bulk of what I've been doing until Noble Garden started. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's an interesting experience. I was excited for it on the PTRs, but I was a little concerned because there wasn't a lot of major content. It seemed like it was very sparse. And that was a bit of a concern for me. But now that I've actually taken a look at it and actually done significant content in it, I'm actually enjoying it. It's a lot of fun to look through the content and see what is available to do. The on-horse charging stuff, the champions and the valiants are still a bit of a struggle for me. The champions, honestly, are actually... Right now, me and my questing partner, we actually help each other. I'll be on the ground while she takes on a champion, and then I'll mount up, and then she'll be on the ground casting spells, and that's pretty much the only way we can beat them. I have no idea how you beat the champions. That is the only solution I've found to the champions, honestly.
Did you try my method that I blogged about?
What you talked about worked for Valiants, but it doesn't work as well for champions. Maybe it's just going to be a longer fight with the champion or something, and I'm just giving up part with you. I don't know, but it is incredibly, incredibly difficult to fight the champions.
The champions are admittedly much more difficult than the Valiants. I find that if you miss one or two attacks, or if you let them charge you, if you get behind in any way, it's really hard to make up the difference. But as long as you have a good fight right from the get-go, it's usually possible to beat them. It just, you know, sometimes you have a bad fight or a bad two, and they do take a long time. That's the other thing. So if you're rushed for time or if you're impatient, not the best thing to do.
Very true. The champion, I can imagine having fought the champions, even with help, it takes a long time to beat them. If I had no help, I'm not sure I would want to. I would probably give up and just say, here, kill me.
I mean, who cares? As long as you're getting it done, who cares if you have someone helping you DPS it down? You know, it's still getting you the points, so...
Yeah. I would imagine that Blizzard will at some point nerf that so that it's not able to get that help, but I fully intend to get as many champion seals as I can between now and then.
Heck yes, I would be doing the same.
You have an iPhone, I have a currently non-functioning iPod Touch. What do you think about the idea of playing WoW from your iPhone?
I heard about this the other day, and I squealed with delight. Basically, there's a video that's going around the interwebs where a company whose name I'm conveniently forgetting right now has shown a teaser of a WoW client for the iPhone. Now, I actually have not seen the video. I don't know how it would work mechanically, and I don't know how hobbled you would be in terms of the things that you could and could not do, but if there was a way for me to play WoW on my iPhone, I almost hate to think of what would happen. Like, I would just constantly be playing WoW all the time. So it might not be good, but I'm pretty excited about it, I'm not gonna lie. And it's supposed to work for the touch too, right? So you could play?
Yes.
I think
that is the rumor, at least.
I think that would be pretty neat. It would be, I mean...
Now, the screenshot...
Go ahead. No, I was just going to blab about it. Go ahead.
Well, the screenshot shows that you were able to chat, you're able to check your mail, you're able to access different characters, changing realms, and so on. And I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that you can do, but I would think that chatting would be the number one thing that I would want to do from an iPod Touch.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just sit there without having to actually have the client in front of me and actually just sitting there chatting, because that's what I do a lot of the time anyway when I'm in game.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I suppose if that's the way that you're, you know, if you're really into that kind of social aspect of communication, I can see how that would be It'd be a slow way of doing it, but it would be a feasible thing to do on the phone. Whereas if you're questing, or God forbid, raiding on the phone, I don't know how efficient they could make it. And I would also imagine that it would be a tremendous battery hog.
Definitely would be a major hog in the resources. But it might be. I mean, it would be interesting. I would think to at least see what it's like, to see if it's worth all that energy.
Oh, absolutely.
At the very least, you.
Do we have a price point for this yet?
I don't see a price listed in the WoW Insider article here, but they're actually not saying that it's actually going to be coming out. The company that's making it's Volley, and they're actually currently being contracted to port Second Life to the iPhone. And they have announced a partnership with Activision, so that kind of lends credence to the possibility that this might actually be coming out. But again, we don't know for sure yet.
Well, I hope it is, and we will definitely report back the minute that there's anything that I can download to my iPhone. As long as it doesn't cost an arm and a leg, I will be doing it. So I'll report back.
Good, and I look forward to hearing that report. So, Grace, I finally got our poll system to work on our site today, or this week, and I did put up our first ever poll. Our poll this week was, what do you think will be the big feature of 3.2? The options were a new battleground, a new raid dungeon, the hinted five-man dungeon, a new Medros and Grace NPCs, Murloc Barbecue, or well, be closed before then. So, Grace, if you could choose one of those options, which would you choose as the winning option for the poll?
Well, clearly, Medros and Grace NPCs.
I would agree.
I mean, is there any doubt?
I imagine we would be at Dalaran or maybe in Winterspring commenting on the fights as they go on. Large fan base behind us listening to our every word.
I think we'd have like the arena cheering sound effect after our broadcast. Absolutely. That's what I want. Blizzard, if you're listening, get on it.
Well, unfortunately, that was not the winning option in the poll. The winning option was the hinted five-man dungeon with 12 votes.
Ooh.
So thank you, everybody, who voted. Tonight, or when the show goes up, I'll put up a new poll, and as well posting the results of the current poll in the show notes at the time. But it was a very good poll. I was really happy to see so many votes. And again, everybody, go to the site when you hear these words on the podcast download, not in the live chat, and vote for the new poll. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, but we will have to see. It's very interesting.
While we're on the subject of listener participation, I want to thank everyone that went to iTunes and gave us a review. We had some good, positive 5- and 4-star reviews coming out of iTunes, so we'd like to invite you, if you have not yet done that, to please do that for us. We are on the first page of WoW Podcast. If you type in Warcraft or World of Warcraft, we are definitely on the first page at this point. We would like to stay there and even move up in the ranks. So if you have anything nice to say, please take a minute, sign into iTunes, and give us a review. And if you have anything negative or constructive to say, feel free to email us, and we'll see if there's anything that we can do about it, or at least explain it to you.
Definitely. And once we actually have a system that works here, I'll be very happy to read off a long litany of reviews from all of those iTunes. But at this point, we're just happy to have the show going tonight. So we'll have to read those another time. So in regards to that poll that I was reading, actually, there was actually a confirmation that there will be a new five-man dungeon in an upcoming patch. Now, Zarhim, who is the Ghostly Skull community manager on the WoW forums, did state that it's comparable to Magister Terrace. So, of the two patches that we see coming up, which one do you see it most likely to come in, Grace? Would you see it as coming maybe alongside the Icecrown Citadel, or would you see it more as a 3.2 along with like some other stuff?
That's a good question. I doubt that it will come along with Icecrown, just because Icecrown will be the culmination, I'm going to assume, of this particular expansion. So I'm assuming that it will not come out in tandem with that, just because that's going to be a locus of whatever expansion it comes out in. But I'm excited about it. You know, Magister's Terrace and Sunwell did come out at the same time. That is true. But at the same time, they did not come out with Black Temple, I don't believe.
So you're saying basically the 3.2 is when you think it'll be out then?
I'm assuming so, because I'm pretty sure that Arthas is not coming out in 3.2.
No, 3.3 is when Icecrown Citadel's coming out.
Okay, and we know that for sure. Like, that's from Blizzard, and they've set it in stone.
Yes, they set it at BlizzCon last year.
Okay, all right. So in that case, I'm going to assume, and again, this is just my fangirl assumption, that it's going to come out in 3.2. But you never know. Sometimes they really do things that are unexpected.
That is very true. And, I mean, really, Sunwell was a pretty big dungeon as well, and it had a 5-man with it, too. So that's actually what's leading to a lot of people to think that it might be in 3.3 alongside Icecrown, is because Sunwell Plateau was a pretty big place, too, with a lot of content, and it had the 5-man attached as well, so... If they could fit a 5-man dungeon that would fit in with the storyline of 3.3, I would have no problem with matting it in.
No, absolutely not. And I would definitely look forward to exploring that content, although I haven't seen Alduar yet, so I'm a little bit behind. But our guild we absorbed another smaller guild, so we've had some jockeying for position and trying to get the newer people geared from 25-man NAX before we move all of our raid teams into Alduar, so that's where we're at with that. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm still looking forward to seeing Sunwell, by the way. I still haven't seen past the first trash pull of Sunwell, so that's also on my to-do list.
Then you're at least 2 steps ahead of me, because the closest I've gotten to Sunwell was looking at the overhead shots as you're going through the Magister's Terrace flyover thing.
Oh, when you did that bombing quest?
No, it's the one where you're in Magister's Terrace and you click on the orb, and it shows you a sort of flyover view as just before Caligos lands.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like that, like the cutscene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what it looks like. I mean, the part, you know, when you go in, it really looks like Silvermoon City in there, pretty much. It's very beautiful. Today, I'm totally going out of sequence here because I've already done my weekly update, but saying Silvermoon City reminded me of this. I got my Black Warbearer today.
Cool.
I was doing For the Alliance, which is the, you know, the group raid where you go, you kill all the bosses of the Horde. And so that's another thing that I got. Woot!
Awesome. So since we keep getting these talent specs that are reset on us, every so often, I actually was looking through WoW Insider this week, and I actually noticed that they do have a recommendation. The talented spec, or the talented mod that was created way back when, it was actually the first mod that allowed you to actually confirm your talents before you actually use them. They've actually updated to include the dual spec option, and it's a really good mod. I actually used it the other day trying to choose a spec on my second paladin, Talon. And basically what it does is it gives you all your talent trees side by side, so you're not... you're not scrolling between the two and clicking tabs to try and choose your points. You can actually see all three trees, and it's actually a really good mod. It allows you to save templates. So if you have, say you have a PvP spec, a PvE solo spec, a PvP 5-man spec, and a PvP dungeons, a raid dungeon spec, then you can save those templates. And they can all be used whenever you can choose to respec one of your dual specs, and then apply that template, and it'll automatically do all your talenting for you.
Yes, agreed.
I found it really, really awesome.
It's a great mod. I just discovered it as well within the past week or so. I've used it to respec all of my tunes since the mini patch came out last week, and I love it because you can... It prevents you from clicking the wrong button and making a very expensive mistake. And it's just neat with dual specking to be able to have a couple different choices that you can vacillate between. Really, really great mod.
Definitely. And it's actually really good because I was able to, since I do have two paladins, I was able to copy the spec from one to the other without having to actually redo an entire spec. So it was really awesome.
Nice.
So I did want to mention that because that's a really good helpful mod. But there, of course, if you don't want to run that mod, there is in the interface options under display, there is the option to actually be able to confirm your mods before you actually implement them, or your talents before you actually implement them. So basically what you can do is you can go through and, you know, clear a tier and then press, you know, learn, and it'll actually confirm that you want to learn those. So you can actually go through and, okay, yeah, I want that many points in that and that many points in that. And then you can go through however many times you want. You can go once, or you can reset at the end of it if you screw up or whatever. It's a really good feature that Blizzard built in, but I still think Talented has its place because it has all of those talents all on one window, which is really, really awesome.
Agreed. We think we both agree that we highly recommend it, so you should check it out.
Definitely. I'll definitely list that as a mod of the week if we still did that feature. But maybe we'll bring that back one of these days. One of the other things I want to talk about is Valinir, Hammer of the Ancient Kings. Have you seen the stats on this, Grace?
You actually just broke up, so I didn't hear what you were talking about. Sorry about that.
Sorry, I'm talking about Valinir, Hammer of the Ancient Kings. Have you seen the stats on this hammer?
No. I have not. Are they crazy?
This is the legendary healing mace that Blizzard has brought in. You collect up 40 of the shards. Each one, you know, you get one or two from each boss in Alduar. And once you have 40, you throw them into the into Yogg-Saron's head. And if you defeat him, you get the hammer back. Well,
oh, that's cool.
Beyond being an epic way to get a hammer, here's the stats of it. Okay. 108.8 DPS. It's a one hand, just so we know. 52 stamina, 54 intellect. There's a critical strike rating of 47, haste rating of 46, spell power of 587, and an equip that your healing spells have a chance to cause the Blessing of Ancient Kings for 15 seconds, allowing your heals to be shield your target, absorbing damage equal to 15% of the amount healed.
Wow. Holy cow.
And the flavor text on it says, the power of creation courses through this weapon.
And I bet it looks amazing too, doesn't it?
It actually does look very cool. There are sections of videos of it and such. It's a really cool mace. Blizzard actually apparently accidentally put it up on the armory and took it down as soon as it was discovered, but not before there were some screenshots taken of the actual spec. Actual stats.
Of course.
But it's got pretty much everything you would need as a healer. And it's for any healer, really. A paladin healer could use this, a priest healer, a druid healer, a shaman healer could use this, and they'd all be very happy with these stats.
Wow. And now, this thing about throwing it into Yogg-Saron's head, if you do not defeat him, you don't get it back?
I don't know. I don't think you have to do it on hard mode. At this point, I don't think anybody has actually beaten Yogg-Saron in hard mode yet. So I think that's why we haven't seen it actually on a player.
That's taking a long time.
I guarantee you that the WoW Insider and MMO Champion and all these places will note whoever has the first one. So the last thing in news I wanted to read this week is that for all those players who were at BlizzCon 2008, your beta codes are now being accepted. So, Grace, if I was to ask you which upcoming property that's in beta testing or could be advancing towards beta testing right now, which property that Blizzard's doing would you want to be in beta test right now?
I would have to say a giant Diablo 3. I mean, anyone who has listened to this podcast for any length of time knows that I'm extremely excited about Diablo. It was my first non-console video game. It was my first RPG. It predates my Warcraft days by some time, and I just really have an affection for Diablo. I love how dark it is. I love the music. I love the way it looks. I love everything about it. So the minute that comes out, I'm going to get my grimy little hands on it. That's for sure. So I got my fingers crossed.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, it's probably going to be StarCraft 2.
Ooh.
But at least they're accepting the beta codes now. So for all of those who have been looking eagerly for either of those beta tests, if you have one of those codes, I'm sure that Grace would be happy to take one off your hands if you have an extra one. But if you don't, you can always send it in to Blizzard, and you'll get the beta confirmation email and so on. So do check that out if you do want to get into the beta. If you don't, of course, allthingsazeroth.com. Send us an email, show at allthingsazeroth.com, and I'm sure one of us will be happy to use that code for you.
Absolutely. In all seriousness, if there's anyone who has a beta code, you don't want it, we'll take it off your hands.
Definitely. So last week we asked if any of our listeners got the turtle mount, that I would beg them, plead with them to send us a picture, send us information, send us all the stuff. Well, Grace, What did Todd Kraft send us this week?
He sent us a picture of the turtle mount. And you know what's funny is the minute we published that podcast, he emailed us. So he must have already had it, you know, shortly after it came out. So, and it looks awesome. And actually, furthermore, one of the players that I was riding or that I was raiding with today doing the For the Alliance quest had the mount. And so when we were charging into the various horde cities, he was charging in on his turtle mount and it looked great. Hilarious.
Awesome. So he says that it took about 2,500 casts in total since the patch hit, and he couldn't believe he actually got it. So Grace, are you enthused right now, or are you planning to go after your very own turtle mount?
Not at this point. Not between my newfound achievement excitement and the multiple alts I have anyway. And the Argent tournament, forget it. I just don't have time for anything else at this point. And it's too bad because I do love mounts dearly and I do love non-combat pets. But I think that one is going to have to go by the wayside just because it takes so long to get. It's so random. And I don't have any tunes with fishing skill. I mean, I know you don't need maxed out fishing for it, but I think Bakos, who's my Death Knight in the guild, His fishing skill is somewhere, it's under 200, and he's the highest one that I have.
Yeah.
So, I just don't think I'm a good candidate for it. How about you?
I will admit that I've been fishing every pool I've found since we got that email. I admit it. Shamefully,
wow.
But I admit it. Every pool that I've come across, I've been dipping that bobber just to see if I could get it. I don't think I'll actually get it, but it's been worth a try. And it's not like I was spending all my time.
You have to cast into pools to do it, right?
Yeah, you have to cast into a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you have that weather-beaten journal, which helps you keep track of fishing pools, that will help you out.
Definitely.
That's a big help if you have that.
Another email we got this week. Well, I got several emails on this. So I want to thank Nathan, Dustin Moon, and actually, there's two Nathans. So both of the Nathans and Dustin Moon for their awesome tips on Pally tanking. I'll sum up because they're all very similar. They all say, you know, use Divine Plea every time you can, Spiritual Attunement if you're in a group, Blessing of Sanctuary and Judgment of Wisdom are your basic ways of a paladin tank to get some mana back. I actually did get into a heroic Violet Hold this week and I tanked it. We did wipe a couple of times, but that actually wasn't my fault on any of them. I do want to point out that the tips we got from people were awesome. I will actually post these in the actual file for anybody else who's looking for it, and I might actually make a post up over on my blog. But I do want to thank everybody who sent me in some tips. There's some awesome tips here, awesome advice on what exactly to expect when you're pally tanking and how to overcome those issues. So again, thank you to everybody who sent in those tips on pally tanking. It was very awesome to see them. Do you have that Night Elf Children email up there, Grace?
Yeah, we got an email from someone. Let me just pull it up real quick here. I thought this was a very excellent question. Yes. Okay. He says, this is from Wild Way. It doesn't say what server he's on. I've listened to your show for quite some time now and really enjoy it. However, I really miss the lore. But I understand you not doing it if the majority of your listeners don't want to hear it. Now, as an aside, I don't know that that's true. But I turn to you now in hopes that you can answer my question. Where are the Night Elf children? The race is the most interesting to me, being that they were the first to awaken in the world of Azeroth and the first to attract the Burning Legion. But they are no longer immortal and I've never seen their children. Are the ones that exist now the last? And I'm going to let you answer that because I know nothing about this and I'm curious myself.
The only indication... Okay, there's two indications of Night Elf children. The first indication we had of a Night Elf child was a NPC in Astronar, I believe. And unfortunately, that was a fully grown Night Elf model who was called a child. The only other indication we have of any children in the Night Elf variety, that I recall seeing at least, was in between Nagrand and Zangar Marsh. There's a little nursery, and there's some Night Elf children, like, toddlers, you know, babies, whatever, in swaddling cloths and all that. Those are the only two indications I've ever seen of children of the night elf variety. Now, admittedly, I can't recall seeing any children who are dwarves or children who are gnomes. Therefore, I really can't speak to that. I think I've seen Draenei children, and I'm pretty sure I've seen human children. But beyond that, I really can't speak to any other races having actually children in the game.
Well, you've definitely seen human children in Stormwind walking around and in Goldshire. And then there's Draenei orphans during Orphans Week.
That's true. There's in Shattrath, there's the Dorna, I think her name is. And, you know, maybe in a in a few days we'll see what Oracle children and Wolvar children, I guess, look like. I don't know what they're doing for Children's Week. Actually, that reminds me, Grace. Are you planning to go back to the Old World, to Shattrath, and to the New World for Children's Week, or are you just going to go for one?
Can I do both on the same tune?
Yes, you can do all three of them, assuming there's new stuff coming out for Wrath of the Lich King era.
Okay, well, I did not know that. I thought I had to pick one. I always do Children's Week on most of my tunes because one of the rewards is inevitably a non-combat pet, and so, of course, I have to have it. So on various tunes, I have the Sleepy Willy, who is that watcher pet who will laser beam critters randomly with his eye. I have the rat pet. I have Mr. Wiggles the pig. I have a bunch of them. So I will definitely be doing it on as many as I have time for. How about you?
Maybe on Medros, though ironically he's the one who needs it least. I might actually do it on one of my tunes that actually needs more non-combat pets. But at this point, I really don't know. My account ends on the 7th, so I will have exactly 1 week. Unless I, of course, get a game card, which I'm not sure if I can afford yet. But it will be interesting to see where things go from here, for sure. I'm excited to see what they come up with for Wrath. I will definitely do it on at least one of my tunes for the Wrath version. Probably going to take a couple tunes back to Shattrath, because they never got a chance to do the Children's Week stuff there. But if it's not very hard, then I have no problem doing all of them. But it was just a matter of the Old World one was kind of like, okay, you've got to go through all these different places, to all these different things, and then you get a pet. And it was just a bit of a frustration to travel all the way back to Teneris, and all the way back to Silithus, and then all the way back up to Darnassus, and then over to Azeroth, and it was just annoying. But we'll see. That's all I can say at this point. But before the next episode comes out, Children's Week will have begun. So I do hope you all enjoy your Children's Week and your little pet, your little human or Wolvar or Oracle or Draenei pet whistles, whatever you get, whatever we get this year.
You know, the saving grace of Children's Week is that provided that you are at or close to max level, you have all the flight points that you need. So most of the time is just spent on a bird. And it can be a little annoying, but it would be worse than having to fight mobs and slog through stuff on foot.
Very true, very true. Grace, why don't you tell everybody how they can check out our guild?
Okay, we have a show guild. It is called Pwnography, Pwnography. And it is on Echo Isles, U.S., and we are a horde side guild. And you are welcome to join us at any level, any race, as long as it's a horde race. Our guild forums are at pwnography.allthingsazeroth.com. Or you can shoot one of us a message on Twitter or a reply on Twitter, or you can send us an email. And I'll talk in a minute about how to do that. The guild rules can be found on the forums, or they can be found a few blog entries back on my blog, which is Grace at allthingsazeroth.com/grace. You just need to read the rules. The rules are very simple. It basically says, don't be a dick. Be nice to play with, that kind of thing. And then we will invite you into the guild. And right now, we have a couple people that have invite privileges. So if it takes us a little while to get you in, don't freak out. You are on the list. It just depends on, you know, you and me, or you and Medros, or you and whoever, getting on at the same time. That's all that counts. Gosh, let's see. What else? You can read our blogs at allthingsazeroth.com/grace and allthingsazeroth.com/medros. You can follow us on Twitter as Medros and Grace. We also have a show account, which is All Things As. Or you can sign our... I'm getting there. You can email us at grace@allthingsazeroth.com, medros@allthingsazeroth.com, show@allthingsazeroth.com. Or you can sign up to be a fan of ours on Facebook. You can also friend us personally on Facebook. You can check the show notes for those details, since I don't want to spell out everything on the podcast itself. And gosh, what else can you do? You can join our social networking site. Oh, gosh, it's a never-ending litany at azeroth.ning.com. Now, because I've had a lot of kind of real-world stuff going on, I actually haven't been over there too much. A good place to catch me personally is Twitter. That's probably the best place for me. So, gosh, what else?
Well, if you if you're looking to get your own site, I definitely recommend checking out dreamhost.com. It's a web host that we use ourselves for the All Things Azeroth show. It's an awesome web host. What I recommend is, if you want to go there, you can always use our codes. First code is Malagos, which gives you no setup on a monthly hosting account. Crassus gives you 2 months free hosting on a extended hosting account. And Tyrion gives you $50 off of a one-year hosting account. So definitely check that out. It's a really good option for web hosting. We use it ourselves because they give lots of bandwidth, lots of disk space, lots of email counts. They allow you to use Google Apps as your email if you want to use it, because they have really reliable email over at Google. It's just a really awesome way to use and to access your site. So I recommend them. Check them out at dreamhost.com. Use those codes. And if you do decide to use those codes, definitely let us know at show@allthingsazeroth.com, just so we can promote your site, assuming it's not anything that is bad. We will happily do that on our podcast here. So if you want to set up your own site and get some pimpage on our site, on our show here, just let us know. Again, that's dreamhost.com. And before we do let you go, a couple of things. First, we're told that tomorrow patch 3.1.1a is going out. And that's just a quick patch to fix the Paladin Exorcism tooltip so that it cannot be used against players. Again, Rambles will be down from 3 a.m. Pacific time until 11 a.m. Pacific time. And we'll see if they're actually up by, like, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. And lastly, before we...
I was just going to say, one can always hope.
Well, it's a really small patch, so I'm really hoping that they can actually get the servers up, you know, within 3 or 4 hours of their deadline.
Got my fingers,
you know,
crossed.
After the deadline,
got my,
I mean.
Fingers crossed.
Lastly, I did want to mention, after the end of this show, we're going to have a small discussion I held with a former co-host of the show. Her name is Alleviel. She wanted to just discuss a few things in regards to raiding and how she sees content. She plays on the North American Realms, but she plays from the UK. She actually raids. She does all this stuff. So she wanted to give her thoughts in a... not an email type of thing, more of a discussion sort of thing. So it's a short discussion with me and Ali. So check that out after the end of the show here. And if you don't want to listen to that, if you don't want to hear, if you don't want to hear what she has to say, just forward, because that's all you're going to hear from us today. So that's it for this show otherwise. So thanks again for tuning in, everybody. Again, check us out on Twitter. Check our site out. Review us on iTunes. And take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you in Outlands.
And beyond.
Hey everybody, Medros here. Before I get on with the discussion I had with Alleviel that's being put on the end of the show today, I did want to talk a little bit about the Children's Week Child's Play charity auction that's being held in honor of the Child's Play charity and Children's Week, which begins on May 1st. This episode will be our last episode before Children's Week begins, so I did want to discuss this a little bit. Myself, as Dwight Walbridge Photography, will be donating a free 8x10 photograph from my collection. And our show, All Things Azeroth, will be donating a free one-episode sponsorship to a chosen winner. Child's Play is a great charity. It's a way for gamers to prove and show that they are able to actually give back to the community, that we don't just take, that we actually do what we can to make people feel that the gamers are a good part of society instead of the bane that many people make us out to be. The list of people who are donating to this cause, this charity auction, are immense. There is Big Red Kitty, there is Mania's Arcania, there is Twisted Nether, blogs, podcasts, and groups, including people from the Guild, are actually donating as well. So check it out. Go to brigwine.com. That's B-R-I-G-W-Y-N. We'll have that link in our show notes as well. And we look forward to seeing how much they raise for the Child's Play charity. And do enjoy Children's Week as well. So thanks again for listening to this little intro. And now to the interview I did with Allevial of the Argent Dawn server. So, Ali, tell me what you've been up to in game and in raiding lately.
Well, since the latest patch came out, 3.1, I've been messing around with dual spec. That's been the main thing. Just taking the guild into Ulduar for the first time last week. We're planning another run tomorrow. So before that, mostly been doing 10 mans, a little bit 25 man. I've done Nax and Sarth and Malgoth and all the usual stuff. So a bit of everything, really.
So what is your main right now? Because I know when we first met, your main was a hunter, and I think you changed that now?
Yeah, the hunter's been more or less benched. It was mainly because we had a lot of hunters in the raid group that I was in. It's not as much of an issue right now, but my two characters, I have a druid and I have a warlock. And they've so far surpassed my hunter in gear now that I don't really want to catch the hunter up. And I prefer the playstyle of those two. So my druid is primarily resto. I'm mostly a healer. But she's now got a secondary Moonkin spec, and I've got a few nice pieces for that. And my Warlock's Affliction.
So you dueled from Tree to Feathers, gotcha.
Yes, Tree and Moonkin, and it's much, much fun.
So do you use the Moonkin for mostly leveling or for soloing and stuff? Or?
Well, I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks, but I have used it in raiding. I went Moonkin when we did an Archivon run. I mean, nothing too much. It's been really nice because when I've wanted to do 5-mans, for whatever reason on my druid, I don't have to heal. I can DPS as well. But when we did Ulduar, I was healing, because that's what my best set of gear is for. And we only have two other healers in the guild, really, so.
Okay. Now, a lot of it has been said about raiding in World of Warcraft, Wrath of Lich King. We've gone from the original 40-man raids to some 25-man raids to... Or, sorry, 20-man raids like Zul'Garub. And then in Burning Crusade, we went to 25-man, and now we're 10 and 25. But a lot has been said about how easy it is now, where back in Burning Crusade, you know, being able to get into Black Temple was, you know, a rite of passage. You had to go through all these steps to get there. And now in Wrath of Lich King, it's much easier. People who before couldn't even hope to get into Karazhan now can clear through Nax without a problem, by some people's opinions. What do you think of that change to raiding in World of Warcraft?
I really like it. I think the main reason that the raiding has been as easy, if you imagine me making inverted commas marks, in Wrath, is because Naxxramas is a retooled old raid. There are hundreds of strategies for Naxxramas around me. Okay, it's the old 40-man, but it's not changed that much. So people have been hammering at that place for a long, long time. Got in their 70s and, you know, gone through it pretty quickly. So there are a lot of strategies around. And then the other raids in Wrath, I mean, you've got Sartharion, which is variable difficulty, but even on, I've done two drakes, it's not that bad. Malagoth is a single encounter, so there's no, because the biggest thing I found, especially in raids like Molten Core, is that if you got really far in, and then you wiped, and you had no white recovery, that was it, basically, because there was so much trash to clear through, there was no point in picking it up again. But in something like Naxxramas, where you've got the wings, each wing, unless you wipe and wipe and wipe and wipe, it's very unlikely that you're going to get any respawns. So that makes it easier in that way. And I mean, I'm a fairly casual player now. Not by choice, really, because it's because I work full time. I didn't used to, and I love the fact that I can jump on, I can find a Nax pug and go and, you know, clear Nax in a few hours. I think Ulduar now is a new step. Ulduar is much, much harder. Partly because there aren't any strats for it, because it's a new raid. But that's the way that everything was in Burning Crusade and in Classic. When there were new raids, they were very, very difficult. When people stepped into Ubers up Black Rock Spire for the first time. They were wiping and wiping because they had no idea what was going on. It's only through the big raiding guilds hammering against these walls for however long and then posting the strategies that allows them to become easy. And because Naxxramas, in a way, is, you know, 4 years ahead of the new raids that are coming out. And the raids like Sartharion and Malagos are one encounter that are very simplistic. I mean, Sartharion has, what, three things that you have to worry about when you're doing giving no drakes? And that's it. That's it for the entire encounter, really. So, yeah, I mean, Naxxramas, Sartharion, Malagos, they're all easier than the sort of equivalent, almost, level in Burning Crusade, which would have been Karazhan. But then I think with the new stuff that's coming out, we're going to see it getting a lot harder. I mean, yeah, Alduar's been cleared, but it's been cleared on easy mode. Nobody's done it on hard mode yet. So,
there you go. Do you like that there's this easy mode that most people can probably get to without a problem or without, you know, as long as you have Nax gear, you can probably have a decent chance of getting through Alduar. But the big trouble, the big challenge is the hard modes. Do you prefer it that way, or would you prefer it the old way where, you know, your final boss was your best gear and everything depended on, you know, being able to down those bosses?
No, I love it how it is now. I mean, I'm a guild leader and a raid leader in a small guild. You know, we have maybe 15 people altogether, but we can get 10 of us together and go and do... we did Flame Leviathan last week. I mean, we're decent players, we're good players, we've got pretty good gear, but most of us just don't have that much time to put into the game because we work or have kids or whatever. And it's really nice to be able to get in there and see those fights without having to spend hours and hours and hours per week. And the fact that there's the hard modes, that I think the hard modes will keep the more dedicated raiding guilds who want to go in there and wipe for hours and learn the strategies and things. That will keep them occupied while the rest of us can get in, can see the bosses, because, I mean, let's face it, downing a boss yourself is much better than watching the death animation on YouTube. I mean, you might get, you know, the basic lore stuff or the basic whatever from YouTube, but it's not going to be the same as being in there with 9 or 24 of your friends and seeing that boss go down yourself. I mean, that's being a big lore fanatic, that's just as much as the gear for me the first time I go in there. Of course, after that, I'm like, yeah, I want gear, but the first couple of times, it's all about the lore and all about seeing the bosses. So yeah, I love the fact that pretty much any guild can go in there and get to the end boss. But, you know, the hardcore guilds have the option of getting the extra titles and the extra loot, mounts, pets, whatever, to show that they're, you know, not necessarily better at raiding, although that's part of it, but have the time to invest in it and the dedication to get those hard ones down.
So I would assume by what you've said that you don't feel sad at all by the fact that Yogg-Saron was killed within, was it 48 hours of patch
coming? No. I mean, let's say it was, who was it? Insidia? One of those guys?
Insidia the Mega Guild from Europe.
Yeah. Let's face it, they've made basically a career out of raiding. I mean, come on. If I could sit at my computer, you know, for 10 hours and do, and they probably did it on the test center anyway. The way to be world first is to get onto the test realm and learn the strats that way, where you can get all your wiping out of the way. As soon as you jump in it on the live realm, you go and do it. Because the rest of us are going in months later and going through the same process. So no, I don't think it's saying that it's too easy. I don't think that it's saying that it needs to be longer or harder or whatever. I think it's saying that they have a lot of dedication and they got in there quickly and learned the strategies, and, you know, they have the best of the best loot that's already available, and, you know, they know what they're doing. So no, I mean, 99% of the WoW population isn't going to do that, so there's no reason why they should cater, you know, WoW should cater for that 1% that wants to go in there and blow through it all. It's a case of they see the end point as being the best part of it, whereas I think a great deal of people see the journey as being the best part of WoW, getting in there and doing the encounters with friends rather than rushing through it to be world first, you know?
Definitely. And actually, Yogg-Saron, I believe, was actually not available on the PTRs, but him and Algolon were the only two bosses
that were not available. The rest of it, they weren't wiping on Flame Leviathan and Razor Scale and Ignis. They were just going in there and killing them and getting to the end. And Freya and, you know, whoever's in the way. They've done it on... They haven't done any of it.
I'd be surprised if they got... I'm surprised if they had any challenge on the earlier bosses. I think that it was simply a matter of time before they got to the point where they were facing Yogg-Saron. And I'm actually surprised they didn't get more world first, because they had been on the PTRs testing those attempts so hard constantly throughout the entire PTR cycle.
And I think did they do it on 25 man?
Yeah, they did. Yes.
Yeah. I've talked about this to other people, but I think I find 10 man to be harder than 25 man in a way. Whatever blog it was I was reading was saying the only reason that 25 man is really harder is because you've got to get 25 people organized rather than 10. Other than that, you know, because if you lose 2 or 3 people in 25 man, it's not as big a deal if you lose 2 or 3 people in 10 man. But that's an argument for another time. But I'd like to see who gets the world first of hard modes on 10 man. I think that will be the real challenge.
Very true, very true. Now, I have a few questions just for the sake of wondering. What is your favorite Burning Crusade boss that you have killed?
My favorite Burning Crusade boss that I have killed? That's hard to say because I didn't do a lot of raiding in Burning Crusade. The group that I was in got to Tempest Keep and to Serpent's Shrine, but, you know, I didn't get very far in them. Because, you know, I was still under the same sort of restrictions where I was doing 10-man. So I'm mostly talking about Karazhan, Gruul, Magtheridon, etc. I really like, and many people don't agree with me, but I really like Nether Spite. I think the Nether Spite fight is really good fun. We're standing in the portals and having different phases and things like that.
Yeah,
I really like him.
I personally died more to Nether Spite than any other boss.
I made a point out of being, because I used to be in the same guild as Medros here, and I made a point of being one of the very few people in the guild that could explain that fight.
I usually died to black bulls beneath me that I didn't see until it was too late.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that fight. I just really like it. I think it was the fact that I once got a 50,000 Curse of Doom off after being in the blue beam, and then he promptly turned around and ate me, but it was worth it.
Well, as long as it was worth it. Now, of the bosses that you have heard about or seen in Wrath, you know, 5-mans and raids, what's your favorite encounter or boss?
Oh, gosh. Again, I'm strange, but I really like Hygen. I love doing the Hygen dance. My boyfriend I was playing in the same room as him, and he got a rendition of Dancing Queen because he died and I didn't. So I was singing that while I was doing the Hygen dance. I hate Kel'Thuzad. He's probably my least favourite. Sartharion. I quite enjoy Sartharion. Malagos I'm 50-50 on because I don't like vehicle fights. I don't like the fact that my hard-won gear basically means nothing in vehicle fights. You know, I'll do them a couple of times and I'm fed up with them.
Well, just so you know, all the war vehicle fights are actually gear dependent.
Yeah, but it's based on the eye level of your gear, not how good your itemization is. That's, you know. But Flame Leviathan's fun. I do like it. I do like Flame Leviathan, but I do get annoyed with vehicle fights. It's just like, I was very frustrated today at the Argent tournament vehicle stuff. But
so you're not liking the tournament then?
I on the whole, I love it. My druid is the champion of Darnassus now. Exalted champion of Darnassus. I'm working on Nomragon. But I was very frustrated today with one of the jousting. I've got the jousting down fine. I can joust quite well. I can beat them 100% of the time unless they run out of the boundaries. But when I'm doing the daily that takes to Ice Crown, where you have to take out the commanders and the lieutenants, the Scourge in Court Brothar, I think it is, every time I tried to take on a commander, I'd get a ton of aggro, and I couldn't joust with them properly, so it was very, very frustrating. And in the end, someone came over and gave me a hand with it, because I was getting so frustrated with it. But that's I have a long-standing thing about vehicle fights. Anyway, Hygen, Sartharion. As far as 5-mans go, I love Culling of Strathholm. I like all the bosses in there. I actually really like Halls of Lightning. I've done Halls of Lightning Heroic a few times now and got all the achievements in there. But I've always gone with a really good group.
Okay.
I've only done Halls of Stone a couple of times. I sort of went straight from 5-man, got good gear, went to Naxx, and then didn't really go back to 5-mans much until recently. Yeah.
Do you think that your guild will ever see Ice Crown? Like Ice Crown Citadel?
I think so, just it might be a bit behind everyone else. We're trying to do 10-man raids on Fridays and Saturdays. Fridays we pretty much go all the time, Saturday depends who's around. So as long as people sort of put the work in and keep going as we are, I think we will. I think we'll get... We were a little bit behind because we had some people come back to the game only about a month or so ago. So we were basically running them through Naxx to catch up with us. I have a feeling that in Ulduar we'll maybe do one or two bosses a week, one or two new bosses a week. I think we're going to try and do Razor Scale tomorrow. Yeah, I think we will. I think we'll be all right. Just hoping they keep to... The thing that annoys me is that the gear is much better in 25-man as opposed to 10 months, and yet originally they said that you would be able to progress just by doing 10 months. That's my only gripe with Wrath raiding right now, is that if you're in, you know, if you're in 25 month gear, you have a much easier time of doing 10 months. I can understand why. I mean, it's supposedly harder, but I'm hoping they keep it so that if we're only in 10 month gear, we can keep progressing through 10 months without having to go and do 25 months. So I find it very, very difficult with my schedule to be able to get to 25 months.
Okay, so there's been a lot of talk about an upcoming five-man dungeon. What do you think about that as a potential future for the game? Like, do you think it'll come in 3.2 or 3.3? Like, where do you see the game going from here, pre the next expansion?
Well, I have a feeling that 3.2 is going to be the Colosseum, right, for the Archon tournament. So is that going to be coming in? I would imagine that they'd bring in a new raid instance as well, and maybe have the 5-man tacked onto that like they did with Magister's Terrace and Sunwell Plateau. I could see that happening. So maybe the rumours that I've heard, it's going to be something in Dragonblight with the Nerubians, or with these new water mounts, maybe something to do with the Maelstrom, although that's probably going to be a full expansion, I would think. The Maelstrom and the Emerald Dream. There's obviously going to be Ice Crown, but I think that'll probably be the last one. So I imagine it would be before the Ice Crown raid. Maybe another phased. You know, like Lancaster Terrace was phased, where you had to do the dailies to be able to open it up. It might be something like that. Maybe even connect to the Colosseum. I'm not sure. Basically, that's what it boils down to. I'm not sure. There's a lot of ideas out there for it.
Now, before we do any this little discussion here, BlizzCon's coming up in August. There's been a lot of talk about what we might see there and the timing of different things that are coming up. Do you agree with those who say we're probably going to hear about the next expansion there?
Maybe hints, but I'm not sure they're ready to put anything concrete in yet. It seems like they've still got a lot to release with Wrath before they start looking at a new expansion. How long was Burning Crusade out for before Wrath came out? 2 years. And we're not even, you know,
but Wrath was announced in 6 months of Burning Crusade coming out.
Yeah, so they might. If they keep to the same sort of time scale, if they're looking to bring out an expansion every 2 years, then it'd be about right for it. And I think there are some things in. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to be the Maelstrom and the Emerald Dream, and maybe go back and do, you know, open up Gilneas and Grimbatol and all that kind of stuff.
Well, their stated goal is to get it to one a year for expansions. Do you think that, I mean, they've only got really two patches left of Wrath, and, you know, we know Ice Crown is the final one. We know there'll be they've said there's going to be a raid, unstated as to what that'll exactly be, but they have stated that there'll be a raid in 3.2. We also know there's going to be now a five-man as well as a battleground. So there's a lot of content, yes, but in a small set of releases. It's not going to be, you know, 3.2, 3.3, 3.4, 3.5 kind of thing. It's going to be a very limited release cycle. There was actually a post on WoW Insider not long ago saying or suggesting that we might see the new expansion by the end of the year. What do you think of that suggestion?
I think I'm going to be rushing it a little bit. I can see why, because people have gone through the content fairly quickly, but as I was saying before, I mean, Nax, people have gone through that more quickly because of the way that it is. And really, people weren't really getting bored and finishing as much as you can finish WoW until the last few months. I mean, once they sort of announced what was in 3.1, that's when we sort of started seeing the lull of, you know, pre-patch people. I don't know. If they keep it to the same sort of schedule they are now, and they release, you know, the next dungeon in a few more months and a few months after that, I still think it would be pushing it a bit. But you've got sort of the two factions. You've got, you know, the high-end raiders that will have gone through everything, and then you've got people like myself who, I'd say I'm going through the content at about the pace that Blizzard's releasing it. I'm not sure that there's enough time for me to get through Ulduar and then another two raids before the end of the year, to be honest with you. But I can see why they might want to do it. It just depends. It's hard to say because it's all, you know, up in the air right now. I think they've got enough content and enough scope to go for another 2 years, but I also think Burning Crusade did have some patches where they could have done putting something else in. So it just depends how much, you know, how long Ulduar lasts, how long the Argent tournament lasts, how long they can keep people interested, because that's the main thing, is keeping as many people as they can interested. Because I mean, putting my completely cynical hat on, it all boils down to they need to make money to keep going, and to make money they need to subscribers, and to keep subscribers they need to keep them interested. So okay. I mean, I'd say rather than a year, maybe a year and a half. 2 years is maybe a bit too long, but a year is maybe a bit too short. So.
So about a year and a half between. WoW 4.0?
Yeah, I'd say so. With them releasing, I mean, when was Wrath out? November, was it? October, November. Yeah, so that's it's like 5 months, 6 months between patches, which means if there's three big patches, that's a year and a half's worth, isn't it, really? Or 2 years worth if you take it from the start. So there you go. Depends. Yeah. If they keep it just 6 months between patches, they can stretch it out for 2 years.
But really, the time between Wrath launching and the first patch can be made up. You know, there was a lot of time where people had to get to 80 and then get through all the dungeons, and there was a lot more dungeons than there were in 3.1.
So you could maybe shave, 2 months off it?
I would say, yeah.
About how long? Yeah, so a patch every 4 months or so. They could stretch that out for a year and a half, every 4 months.
Now, what would you like to see in that? Would you like to see a combined Maelstrom and Emerald Dream, or would you like to see the Emerald Dream as an instance? How would you like to see that next expansion? If it's those two, since that seems to be the prevailing thought, it will be either one or the other or both combined. How would you like to see that laid out?
I think the Emerald Dream would have to be its own world, because the Emerald Dream is, you know, it's Azeroth as it was before the Sundering, so it's going to be big. I think they could do the Maelstrom as an instance or a set of instances. A big raid sort of area. Probably around the size of a zone, I'd say. Maybe have the Maelstrom as a zone with a big instance in the middle, and have the Emerald Dream as a new world, perhaps.
So
access it through the portals or something. You know, the portals that are in, there's one in Azshar, or there's one in
Boralus.
Duskwood, yeah.
Ritalin, yeah. And
yeah. Duskwood.
Duskwood, yes.
Yeah, where the world dragons are.
So would we see all these other islands like Kel Taras and Gilnias and Undermine and all these other places? Do you think we'd see those open up along with the Maelstrom, or would it just kind of be out with the
I think they should go back and open up all these areas that, I mean, they've shown that with phasing they can change the way. I mean, I was reading something that said, why don't you keep Nomragon as it is until you get to level 70, level 80, and then you unlock a quest series that lets you clear out Nomragon and open it up, and have it as phasing so that people who are lower level can still do the instance, which I think is a really nice idea. And you could do a similar sort of thing with Gilnias, Kul Tiras, Grimbatol, that sort of thing. You could have it as phasing, because they've shown that with this phasing technology they can do some really good stuff. And there's a big area that changes depending on whether you've done the Wrathgate chain, for example, the Garian Dragonblight. You could have something like that.
All right, well, I think that's about it. Is there any other thoughts or ponderances you'd like to mention before we wrap up?
No, not really. Working full-time sucks for playing Wrath. Being 5 hours ahead of server time sucks for playing. Other than that, not really.
All right.
My 25-man group's splitting up, it sounds like, so I'm hoping to find another one for the weekend, but otherwise I'm just going to keep on trucking with the guild and the 10-mans, I think.
Okay, well, why don't you let everybody know your characters and your guild and give shout-outs where desired?
Sure. My main characters, my warlock is Emmeline, my druid is Elidith, my hunter is Allevial, which is the name that I'm known on my blog and on the podcast usually. My guild is Agents of Strongguard on Argent Dawn US. We're not recruiting, we don't recruit. If we find somebody that we really like, we'll invite them, but it takes a lot because we're just a friendly group, really. It's not really anything to advertise.
Okay.
You see us around, say hello.
And where would people find that blog of yours?
Okay, it's the All Things Azeroth site, www.allthingsazeroth.com/bitterroots, all one word.
All right, and I'll make sure to put that into the show notes when this episode is released. So thank
and
you.
I'm notoriously bad at updating it because of my work, but I do put things on occasionally.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today, and thank you for your insights into raiding in Wrath, the Burning Crusade, and everywhere else. And we will see you in game, Allie.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Not a problem. Happy to have you on the show.
Awesome.